This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. And this is Overtime with AWOD, and we're talking all things NBA. And we've been kind of talking NBA throughout the show here, and I'm super happy to be joined on the hotline by my guy Justin Fensterman. And anytime I have him on the show, he brings the energy, he brings the fire. You know, it's fire and ice with AWOD and Justin. So welcome back to the show, Fensty.
More like fire and fire, especially in the eve of this NBA Finals Game 4. How the heck are you, AWOD?
I'm good, man. So what are you expecting Game 4 tonight? I've been saying on my show that this series just screams home team wins every game.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I was listening to you earlier, and I've been swaying back and forth on this. I'm feeling, though, that the Suns are going to bounce back with that shooting, and if they can, then they're going to win this, and then the series is going to be over likely next game. But here's the thing with the Bucks. Here's what the Bucks have to do, and I feel like this is something they can do, and I've mentioned this to you before. They have to attack tonight. What was something that was huge for them in Game 3 that were able to save their series? DeAndre Ayton being in foul trouble. The only way that you're once again going to get Ayton in foul trouble, assuming as well that Ayton's going to be a little bit more conservative, being that he doesn't want to get in foul trouble. He's their only big impact guy on both sides of the ball. So with that, they have to attack, attack, attack. I know they're going to want to shoot threes, but Chris Middleton's going to have to attack the rack tonight, AWOD.
Yeah, I know, and he loves to, you know, pull up on his way to the basket for these short floaters and kind of throw it above people. But I agree he's going to have to attack the basket, but I need him to also hit these three-pointers when he's open. And some of the things, I don't know about you, but as good as Giannis has been in these playoffs, especially in these finals, it feels like sometimes he doesn't have the best final pass, and he's kicking it out to these three-point shooters, and they don't catch it in their shooting pocket. And then sometimes because of that, they have to do another pass and another pass, and it's like it's a wasted opportunity because he draws a double team, and then some of his last pass is missing something.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big thing is that the rest of the Bucks have to cut. Everybody's waiting to be fed, or they're waiting on Giannis to somehow, some way, even with two defenders, him being trapped, especially on that elbow, how is he going to get to the basket if he can barely get a good angle? That's a problem right there. So with that, someone else has to cut. Sometimes we've seen P.J. Tucker do it, and then he abandons it. He doesn't get a lot of plays called for him. But that's where these guys are going to have to cut to the basket a little bit more to keep the Suns moving. If they are going to play the perimeter game, then the Suns are going to give them about 2 seconds before they clamp them down defensively, and that's not enough time for these guys to put up shots. So I'm going to keep saying it over and over again, and I'll say it again tonight on SiriusXM. They have to attack, AWOD.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And, of course, anytime I have Justin Fensterman on, I can talk all things basketball, NBA, and, of course, Team USA. Team USA got the win in Game 3, but, man, it was a dreadful performance in Game 1 and Game 2. And I should have seen this coming because I watched the 2019 FIBA World Cup, and that team struggled mightily and eventually fell to France. And so what do you think as we're going into the Olympics here? Yes, this is just the exhibition games. And yes, Greg Popovich is going to make some adjustments. But can they win gold?
Yes, they can win gold. And this is a good thing that this happens because now their competitive fires are going to be lit. Everybody forgets about this, AWOD, but the great dream team of 1992, in their first scrimmage, they faced a bunch of collegiate basketball players from the U.S., and with that, I'm trying to remember something. I know Chris Webber was there for one of them. Leitner was actually on that dream team. They lost to them. They lost. If you ever watch that Dream Team documentary, after that they were like, what the heck is going on right here? And then all of a sudden they started playing more team basketball shortly after that. But that's why you need these times, these scrimmages. I know everybody's going to overreact. And I know that some of the big-time broadcasters, when it came to a team like Nigeria, it doesn't matter that they don't have the A-listers that the U.S. team has from the NBA. They have NBA players that know how to play on the professional level. And when you get a bunch of professional players on the same level that know the game, they can play with some of those big guns from the U.S. So I'm not that surprised. It's just at the end of the day, everyone's making like it's the worst thing in the world. But AWOT, this is why it was exhibition. It's an exhibition, and now their tune-up will be complete. They should be better moving forward.
I hope so, but I'm a little worried. And you make a great point with the Dream Team. But, you know, that was just one game. Team USA lost back-to-back games. You know, it was like, did the Nigeria game wake them up? No. Patty Mills destroyed them. I couldn't believe Patty Mills was taking everybody off the dribble. He was taking KD. He was taking basically the whole team he dominated. And so I'm worried. And you're right. I mean, the Dream Team was 20 years ago. You know, people have grown up. You know, people that watched that when they were just kids, they're now probably in the NBA. And internationally, it has gotten so much better. The basketball, you look at the last few MVPs in our league, they're not American. They're international players. And so that's what I'm worried about, especially with, in my opinion, the NBA is soft inside now, and we're seeing that in the Olympics. Every time down the court, they're complaining for fouls at the ref when those don't get called in international basketball.
Right, and we're seeing that in the NBA playoffs as well. We make fun of a player like Brook Lopez a lot for that reason. 7-1, and he's chucking up threes. Why is that? Why can't he use his size to get freaking inside? That's the problem. And ever since 2004, there's no way. I don't care how many teams win one gold since. It doesn't matter. Ever since 2004, and even 2000 when the gold medal game was close in there, or the semifinal was close there for the U.S., that should have been an indicator that these other teams from across the pond and across the world are getting ready. And why is that? They have some pro-level talent and that has scouted and played against these players from the U.S. So I'm not that surprised, especially ever since they struggled in 2004. Remember that, A1?
Yeah, no, I do. And I kind of want to get your take on, you know, everyone kind of says that every time you get an Olympics year, those guys end up talking to each other, and maybe not that offseason, but the next offseason, a few of them end up trying to team up with each other. I feel like this is the time for Damian Lillard to demand out of Portland. He's been so loyal to them for so long, and yet I feel like anywhere, any other team in the league adds a Damian Lillard, and they could be a contender for the trophy. So why would you not want to trade if you're Damian Lillard?
Yeah, absolutely. And the big thing is, can Portland build around him? And it seems like they really can't. So he should try to demand a trade, but he doesn't have as much control. I mean, where he can end up, and a contract is going to have to come with it wherever he ends up. That's where teams are going to have to be careful when trading for him, when thinking about their own future. If I'm Damian Lillard, though, the big question is this, and especially in this new age NBA, do you want to be a leader? Or do you want to make a pact with a few players and then you all three form a super team? That's something that a lot of these players, these newer players, these rising stars from about 4 or 5 years ago that are now budding superstars, these are the decisions they're going to have to make right now. And more often than not, AWOD, we see them submit to joining up with some of their friends, also good and better basketball players than most, to make that super team. So this will be very interesting to see how Lillard's career shapes out the rest of the way.
You're listening to Overtime with AWOD here on 106.7 The Fan. My guest right now on the hotline, Justin Fensterman at Fensty Sports on social media, the host of Alarm After Hours on Sirius XM. I know you're a gambler and you're a fantasy basketball guy as well. I'm going to take you through a few of these bets that I'm going to put in, and I want you to tell me hot or cold, if you like it or you don't. Let's start with this one. At plus 106, I can get Devin Booker to have over 2.5 three-pointers. I love it. I think he's going to bounce back tonight. What do you think?
I mean, has he been able to bounce back fully? I'm a little bit fearful when it comes to Booker shooting props, AWOD. Especially, I wish it was two. So I'm going to actually say cold on that because he's been a little bit more inconsistent than you think throughout the playoffs. So I don't really want to bet shooting props.
I like it. And you're also the guy that says slow down on calling him the next Kobe. So you're sticking with it. I love it.
I mean, has he played like the next Kobe?
No.
Seriously, He shot like hell for the most part.
Yeah, you're right. All right, here we go. Points and rebounds combined, minus 125 for Brook Lopez to have over 15.5 points and rebounds. He had 11 points in game three. I'm expecting about the same and a few rebounds. You put that together, I think it's going to be close, but I think he gets the over.
It's going to be close there. I think that he's getting enough playing time where it'll be fine there. And he's been better on the boards. I know not last game, so he's been all right on the boards. So if you want to bet the over on that one, I'm fine with it. But like you said, it's going to be very close. We're looking at maybe 16 or 17 yeah. at the end of the day.
Oh, no, that's how they screw you. You know, it's like last game I put the over for first half points at 115. It was 115.5, and I think the first half was 60 to 45. You know, so what is that, 105? I mean, they're so spot on with Vegas. They almost get it right on the dot every single time. How about this one? This is a parlay of Giannis alternate points and rebounds over 40.5 and the Bucks to win. So they have to win, and Giannis has to score about 30 and have 10 boards. What do you think about that?
I mean, definitely on the Giannis side, the 30 and the 10, I think so. Anyone that's willing to maybe make a bet on Giannis over 40, you're crazy. I would never place a bet at 40. I don't care if he has another 40-point game. That's still very, very high for me. When it comes to the Bucks winning, that I'm a little bit fearful of. Like I said, if I can't put a wager on the money line on the Bucks, then I have to say no, unfortunately, to your parlay for that.
All right, all right. You know, we each have our opinion here. Maybe I'll come home with the money.
You think the Bucks are going to win, so you're good then. So if you think the Bucks are going to win, and I'm thinking that Giannis is going to at least score 30 tonight and grab double-digit boards, I think we'll be fine there. We'll combine effort to get you that victory.
Absolutely. Justin, did you hear any of the audio, the story that came out from the Undefeated, this crazy MJ story? Did you hear any of that?
I have not heard it yet.
Awesome, man. All right, well, I'll just say that's my tease for next segment. I'm going to get into that. It's this really cool MJ story about when he was in the NBA and came back to North Carolina and played ball with those guys. Really good stuff. Always appreciate having you on. Big game tonight, game four in the NBA Finals. Phoenix against the Milwaukee Bucks. Who is your, before I let you go, who is your Finals MVP?
Oh, man, I mean, I wish I could give it to Giannis, but hey, thinking that the Suns are going to still win this series, it has to be Chris Paul at the end of the day. I keep mentioning it. Devin Booker's shooting has been up and down. Ayton has been solid, but Chris Paul is the reason why Ayton's solid with all those great setups and help throughout the year, and I think it's all coming to fruition. So if the Suns end up winning, it's going to be Chris Paul. The Bucks end up winning, obviously Giannis. Who else would it be?
Yeah, no, you're right about that, and I'm pulling for Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns. That's Justin Fensterman at Fensty Sports on all social media platforms. Thanks so much, bud.
Thanks, A-Wad.
Yep, and you're going to have to keep listening if you want to hear this MJ story. It's really cool. It's of course, anytime I hear about an MJ story, my eyes perk up, you know, in my ears as well, because I was the biggest fan of Michael Jordan. And it's funny because it comes out right around the time for Space Jam 2, and I keep saying they have to find a way to make a reference or two to Michael Jordan and what he did against the Monstars. It was epic. It was the greatest basketball performance of all time. His hand stretched from half court, and he dunked it in for the game winner. I'm Adam Epstein here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. You're listening to Overtime with AWOD. It's just after 7:45, and you can listen to the show up until 9 p.m. if you missed any of it. You can rewind with the Odyssey app or grab the podcast. We'll throw that up on the Overtime 106.7 feed. And so I wanted to talk about this Michael Jordan story on the Undefeated and kind of dive into this. So it's Mark Spears, who covers the NBA for ESPN, the Undefeated, and he started this new series called Hoop Stories. And it's really a simple series. He just sits down on a couch and kind of raps to you guys and tells you some of his NBA stories. He's been covering the league for over 20 years. He knows everyone. He's friends with all the players. And this story about his heiress, the great Michael Jordan, MJ, Mr. Basketball, the GOAT, it's unbelievable. And so I cut it up for you guys. I think it's about 5 minutes long. I got it to under 2 minutes with just the meat of the story. And I thought it was cool because I got to work with Mark Spears for the Undefeated. We were doing a show called Round Ball Rap. And he had Kenyon Martin on the show. Really cool stuff there. And so he's really plugged into the NBA. He's tight with a bunch of players and coaches, like I've said here. And so I'm expecting a lot of really cool stories like this on his new show called Hoop Stories. So here's the first one about Michael Jordan. Take a listen.
Nick Scout, Maktar Hengjai is definitely one of my favorite people because he always keeps it 100, whether you want to hear it or not. He also played at Michigan and North Carolina. One practice in particular, Dean Smith, the legendary coach, walks in and says, "All right, guys, stand in the line. I got somebody for you to meet that needs no introduction." Michael Jordan walks in. So Michael Jordan walks by one, player by player, shakes his hand and says, "What's your name?" "Hey, my name's Anton Jameson." "Hey, what's your name?" "My name's Vince Carter." Maktar, his crazy self, he goes to the end of the line to make sure he's the last person. So Michael Jordan gets to him and shakes his hand. He goes, "What's your name?" "Well, my name's Maktar Hengjai." "What's your name?" Maktar asks Jordan. Jordan kind of looks confused. He said, "Michael." "Pleasure to meet you, Michael." And he says, "You don't watch much NBA. Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Senegal." He said, "Yeah, they don't show much basketball in Africa." And then Maktar, as Michael Jordan's walking away, says, "By the way, Hakeem Olajuwon's the greatest basketball player of all time." Michael Jordan looks at him, looks a little upset, and just rushes out the room. About 10 minutes later, Jordan comes back in practice gear to play. He destroyed the first team. He destroyed the second team. Everybody was just passing the ball to Jordan, and Jordan was trying to dunk on Maktar the whole time. He did what he needed to do, and then left. So years later, Maktar Hengjai and Anton Jameson were at the Super Bowl in Miami trying to get into this hot club. So they're standing outside, they're trying to figure out a way to get in, and Michael Jordan comes out from a balcony and looks down. Maktar sees him. Mike, can you help us get in? Jordan looks down at him and goes, "Oh, now you remember my name, Africa?" And turns around and walks back into the club.
Unbelievable story there. Linnell, that was your first time hearing it. How do you react to that? Because I just think that, that kind of thing, MJ must have done that all the time, going back to UNC and being like, "You know what? These guys are talking a little trash. I need to show them up real quick."
He's a certified a-hole. Like, I would be pissed if I was the guy and actually didn't get in the club. I'd be pissed.
I mean, maybe they didn't deserve to get in. It was an exclusive Super Bowl party.
He could have met his wife in there. You never know.
But I just love how Anton Jameson is involved, is in that story. Like that's just so funny. Wizards great Anton Jameson. The original stretch four Anton Jameson. You like that?
I like that you gave him his respect on that, because he was the most unorthodox finisher in DC basketball history.
Yeah, really cool story there from Mark Spears. You can check it out on the Undefeated's YouTube page called Hoop Stories. And I can see MJ doing this, man. He took everything personally. Everything. That's what made him so good. He would go after everyone. He would win every one-on-one matchup. You know what I mean, guys? I mean, just MJ the GOAT, man. And so anytime, like, I watched the Netflix 10-part documentary series. I've watched that 3 times now. That's how big of an MJ fan I am. I mean, and I've rewatched the scene where he would play quarters with some of the guys they would call the jock sniffers, right? Because all they did was want to hang out with MJ. But, man, he was that competitive, and that's what made him so good. I don't know about you guys, but MJ, we'll never see anyone as good as him. The way he would flow around the air. I mean, it was like he made basketball beautiful. You know, he was just every movement he did was so smooth. Zach, you wanted to chime in here?
Yeah, what about Martell Webster? He's right on that same category as MJ. Oh,
why would you say that?
I mean, he was electric. I think they should bring him back. He's a free agent. I think he fits right what they need. They need that kind of backup swing, that wing that can kind of spread the floor. I think he's MJS. They just didn't give him a chance.
Yeah. Hey, Martell Webster had back injuries for years.
Remind me to have Odyssey HR drug test, Zach.
But, man, yeah, so anytime I see a Michael Jordan story, I'm all about that. He was the GOAT of the NBA. But the GOAT of college football, to me, is Reggie Bush. And I think it's really cool here that I saw that Reggie Bush is coming out with a documentary that will provide a fresh look at the USC college football scandal. I think it's going to be really cool. And Kirk Frazier is the one that is going to be directing the documentary. I've gotten a chance to meet him before. He's directed some of the most incredible sports documentaries. He directed the great documentary about the Mavericks team that won the NBA Finals when nobody expected that to happen that year. The end of Dirk Nowitzki's career, and you get a really cool behind the scenes of that. He also did a great documentary about local tennis player Francis Tiafoe and his roots. And so anytime I see that Kirk Frazier is behind a product, I am going to check it out. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And I just feel like Reggie Bush deserves his shine. He deserves his flowers. He deserves more positive talk about his college football career because he gets destroyed so much. You know, everyone talks about how he doesn't have his Heisman anymore and how they had to take away the wins that he had for USC. Like, now that you're paying college athletes, please respect Reggie Bush. Put some damn respect on his name. I'm really looking forward to that documentary about Reggie Bush, and I think it's going to come out in just a few months. So that is a little bit of a hodgepodge topic there here on 106.7 The Fan. I want to talk about some of my favorite events in the Olympics, as that is just around the corner. And I'm really looking forward to track and field, gymnastics, swimming, soccer, and basketball. And I'll tell you who some of those athletes that I'm looking forward to watching as well. Linnell, do you have a favorite Olympic sport? Is it winter, summer? Is there one in particular that you'll always watch?
I love watching my homegirl Simone Biles flip all over the place.
I know.
Gets besides. I love it.
It's crazy, man. I mean, I still don't think it gets enough run that she is doing a move right now that it's called the Biles, because nobody else can do it.
Literally, I'm glad you put some respect on her name. Literally, she has a move named after her because nobody else in the history of the sport can even do what she's doing. She's topsy-turving, twisting and twerking everywhere. It's beautiful.
It is, and she sticks the landing, which is like, how do you do that? I mean, I can't stick the landing when I get out of bed in the morning. So she's an unbelievable athlete. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. This is Overtime with AWOD up until 9 p.m. You can always chime into the show, 1-800-636-1067. And I am open. DMs are open on Twitter, at AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. We got another hour of Overtime with AWOD here on 106.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. You're listening to Overtime with AWOD here on The Fan. If you want to chime in, it's always open lines throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. And, of course, you can tweet me at AWOD Radio. Let's go to the phone lines here. We got Bobby in Alexandria wants to chime in. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, what's happening, AWOD?
Hey, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, I got two real quick things, the good and the bad. The bad was I went to a Pro Bowl game. This was many years ago, and the coolest dude in the whole place was Warren Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest hole in the whole place was Boomer Esiason. I was standing beside him with my wife.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm standing beside him with my wife, and we're standing at a little stop sign. We're going to go to a little Chinese restaurant, and I said, hey, Boomer, Maryland, university, man. I'm from Maryland. He looks me right in the face and says, I'm from New York, and turns his head. I'm like, really? And like when Warren Moon was like on the beach, smoked a cigar with him, the nicest guy in the world. And I've talked to other people that have said they've met Boomer Esiason before, and he's not all that. And the good story is I sold a car one time to a guy named Mark Blount. He was a center for the Boston Celtics, and called him up one day and said, I'm in Boston. I want to come over and, watch a game if I can. He said, not a problem. Stayed at his house, a friend and I, and then we got these tickets, and they were like 3A. And even the managers didn't know where 3A were. And they were like, we don't know where these seats are. Dude, we were sitting on the wood right next to all the announcers and everything, like right there.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And I was like, unbelievable. And he's a nice guy. Mark Blount is a nice guy. But just talking about one being one way and one being the other, it's crazy how people act sometimes. Yeah. And Mark didn't have to do anything like that.
You were inspired to call in by that MJ story, huh?
Oh, yeah. When I heard MJ, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, he could have probably went, all right, brother, I got you, man. You know, you're from Africa or whatever. You know, I mean, I could have been from wherever. I could have been from the moon. But Boomer Esiason had to turn his head and go, yeah, well, I'm from New York. Wait a minute. You played at Maryland. I watched you my whole life. What is going on? So I thought I'd call in and give that one to you. But, you know, shout out to Mark Blount, center for the Celtics. And we were on the floor. Tommy Heinsohn sitting right next to me. I think I'm the only person that got a signed Tommy Heinsohn bobblehead because he said, I'm not signing any of these things because everybody's running up to him. He just took off.
Hey, Bobby, at the end of the game. I appreciate the call, man, and welcome to the AWOD Army. And you mentioned AAA. I knew what that meant right away because I've sat on the wood one time. Lurch set me up for a date on a Wizards game, and I was like, Drake, right? We had the arena to ourselves for a little bit, sitting there on the wood, put my feet up. You know, I was in touching distance of Bradley Beal. You know, that was when we had Isaiah Thomas on the team, and I was like, man, I'm kind of taller than Isaiah, right? But, man, that was one of the best memories I've ever had, was going to a Wizards game and sitting on the wood. But to mix things up right now, I did want to talk about the Washington football team. Guys, if you're a Washington football team fan, it's time to take out your phones, swipe up. It's that easy on an iPhone. It just has to recognize your face for half a second and type in 1-800-636-1067. I want to talk about the Washington football team because Chad Johnson loves himself some Terry McLaurin. And so I want to get into the expectations for the offense this year and what the upside could be. How great could we be if everything works out perfectly? Here's what Chad Johnson said about Terry McLaurin. So it started with a tweet a few years ago, I think after his rookie year or in the middle of it, where he tweeted that he tipped the exact number that Terry McLaurin had for yards for that season. So Chad Johnson tipped the waiter, I believe it was like 1,960 or 963. So that was for how many yards Terry McLaurin had. That's the first time that people, you know, Washington football team fans realized Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco likes Terry McLaurin. And then Bruce Allen tweets, the pieces are here for a winning team. Chad Johnson tweets, translation, we have Terry McLaurin and we build around him. Then he tweets again in October of 2019. Is Terry McLaurin playing today? Then he tweets the next month. He says, Terry McLaurin, ... That's it. That's the effing tweet. I'm telling you guys, there's a theme here. He loves Terry McLaurin. Then he tweets, the Redskins secondary is ranked statistically well, if my memory serves me correct, which can make for an exciting matchup against the Cowboys receiving core. As for the football team, Terry McLaurin is the more polished version of me. That's what he said. I love that. And then he tweeted again. He said, Terry McLaurin is playing Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. He can't wait to watch him. And then the latest tweet, which was yesterday or today, this morning, he said, remember this tweet, Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel are going to go crazy with Fitzpatrick at the helm, an aggressive QB that takes chances and will improvise. These two have the skill set that makes his job easier. I guarantee you their production is bananas. No cap, is what he said. And so you got to love that, Chad Johnson, Mr. Ocho Cinco, number 85 when he played for the Cincinnati Bengals, one of the greatest route runners I've ever seen play the wide receiver position. And so 1-800-636-1067, what is the best upside for this Washington football team offense? Linnell and Zach, you guys chime in as well. I'm kind of looking at the 2015 year that Fitz had with the Jets. He had 31 touchdowns, just 15 interceptions, 3,905 yards. That would be the best, I think, the production-wise that we could see from Fitzpatrick. You guys agree with that?
Yeah, it'd be incredible to see him actually make the playoffs for the first time in his career. I just don't know. How long's his leash before they say, you know, maybe we give Heinicke a try?
So I wrote that down as well. How long is his leash? I would say three bad games in a row. I think it's not going to – you're not – no matter what he does in the first two games, you're going to kind of just give it to him, right? I mean, the Chargers, that's up in the air. They've got a good offense, but can they stop us defensively? And then that Thursday night game against the Giants. But then after that, I think if he has three bad games, you pull the plug and you go to Heineke and you try to save the season.
I think it could be comparable. Do you remember Kirk's last season here? Well, no, not Kirk's last season.
His second to last season. Nine and seven season.
We felt like we were just scoring every time we touched the football.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like our offense can be. We've got balance, got a good running back, decent offensive line. If he doesn't have to throw the ball a bunch, I think we could be scary offense.
Yeah. So I'm hoping for somewhere around the range of 28, 29, 30 touchdowns and limit the interceptions to under 20. I think that's going to be key, and hopefully he can be a 4,000-yard passer. We haven't had that since Kirk. McLaurin, what do you think, guys? I mean, can he get to 1,000 yards receiving this year? I think it's going to be tough because, man, we're going to have to share the ball around. You know, Curtis Samuel's going to get a lot of touches, Antonio Gibson, Logan Thomas, De'Ami Brown as well. I'm going to say the ceiling for McLaurin is 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns.
I wanted to chime in. Do we think that Fitzpatrick's going to be able to grasp the offense from the get-go? Do you think it's going to take him some time? Because I know, especially last year, we had a bunch of quarterbacks going in. Scott Turner plays, he kind of coaches very conservatively until they've kind of gotten the grasp of the playbook. Are you expecting Fitzpatrick to be all ready to go week one, or do you think it's going to take him some time?
I think it might take him some time to learn the ins and out of the playbooks, but he's the kind of guy that as long as there's one deep option in the route, he's not afraid to sling it away. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's going to be throwing the ball deep way more than we saw in the beginning of the season last year for Haskins. Like, there were times when Haskins was playing where I was praying for him to throw it more than 15 yards. You know, it felt like every play was a dump off or a slant or throwing. How many times did we see Haskins throw it in the backfield? He threw it backwards a few times.
Dwayne Trashkins is how we should address him on this program.
So I think McLaurin can get to 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. Curtis Samuel, I would say, I mean, this is just me being optimistic here, 700 yards maybe, 6 touchdowns. But if he can get more than like 150, 200 yards rushing, I think that's going to be huge. You know, because he's the kind of guy that we're going to see him in the backfield. We're going to see them find a way to get him the ball with an end around. I wouldn't be surprised if Scott Turner threw out a wildcat formation. You think that could be possible? Definitely. You get Antonio Gibson in the backfield with Curtis Samuel. One guy goes either way.
I want Big Logan back there.
Oh, yeah.
Big Sexy 82 back there.
We did see that
at
one point last year, right?
He did a
couple QB sneaks.
A couple QB sneaks. It was the Thanksgiving game is where we saw them take all the clothes off offensively. Yeah.
They got naked.
At naked offensive. Seriously, they were letting it all hang out.
And then Antonio Gibson, I think you got to hope and pray that he can get to 1,000 yards rushing for the season. I'm going to say 8 touchdowns for him. But I think the particular thing about the Samuel signing is that it's going to pave the way for McLaurin to see more one-on-one matchups. We saw so many times last year, the reason Logan Thomas did so well is because McLaurin was getting double teamed and our other receiver was like Dontrell Inman or Cam Sims, right? I mean, to be honest, I think that the product of McLaurin getting double-teamed was the breakout performance from Logan Thomas. And so now this year with the addition of Curtis Samuel, I think that could help McLaurin see more one-on-one matchups, and he's going to win those one-on-ones.
Nobody in the NFL can stick him one-on-one. We saw him do it against the best.
Stephon Gilmore.
Pick your eyes up, Zach Brook. Nobody in the NFL can guard him one-on-one. Do you need me to pull up the New England-Washington film when Colt McCoy was at quarterback and Terry was giving him the business?
So Terry McLaurin was quoted this week as he talked to reporters here in the local D.C. area. He was quoted saying, "It's not going to necessarily allow those teams to play with a safety on the hash and those double coverages I was seeing a lot last year." So he's saying, "I just think it's going to open it up for me personally, down the field, intermediate, short," McLaurin said, "but also it's going to allow other guys to make some plays." The fact that the addition of Curtis Samuel, and you know, Curtis Samuel is like borderline maybe a number one wide receiver. And so you have two guys that can be number ones, two guys that can beat you deep. I think it's going to make the defense play more off coverage, which then hopefully will help Antonio Gibson this year out of the backfield. What do you guys think about that? I just think it's one of those things where last year it was so focused on him handling the ball first and second down. This year, they're going to want him to play every down, and to do that, he's going to be able to run those routes and make those catches. He played wide receiver in college, so he shouldn't have a trouble catching the ball. It's just, can he, you know, get used to the offense? Some of those plays here, it's always tough for a running back when they say, hey, can you chip Jadeveon Clowney and then run a quick slant pass? Like, that's so tough to do. That's why they didn't want him to do it in his rookie year. Can he get it done in his sophomore year?
I think he can. I expect him to be the main beneficiary of the stable quarterback play, because a lot of the times last year, as you mentioned, teams were playing us with single high safety. They knew we weren't going to push the ball down the field. You with the additions on the outside, and you play with two high safeties, and you only got your regular box, he's going to break tackles. The kid's thick, like we mentioned last show, 6 foot, 225. Sky's the limit for AG.
Yeah, no. I'm with it, and I think, you know, you're right. I think the quarterback play is going to help him. I think the fact that we have two good wide receivers is definitely going to help him as well, and hopefully we can get another good season of just consistency from the tight end position. We've got a few guys that are the backup tight ends here that, you know, they're going to be fighting for playing time on the field, but I'm expecting big Logan Thomas to dominate the middle of the field, which would help, you know, the guys over top.
What are your expectations for Samus Reyes if he makes the team?
That's one of those guys where if he even makes the team, I think he's special teams guy, and you know, he doesn't have that much experience, so it's like, how can you really throw him out there for that? I think he's the kind of guy that won't even see the field until maybe week 8 or 9 if there's an injury. I'm not like I love how Grant and Danny are all about him. I love how Logan Paulson, who I have had on my show, has been training with him. And he's a great story. I just don't even know that he's going to make the team, guys.
Look, I want to take over as Samus Reyes' agent, because I know some boardwalks, the boardwalk in Ocean City. He'd make more money and have a more successful career walking boardwalk shirtless. He's got the type of physique. Heck, I'd give him a shot.
Oh, you know? Really?
Okay, let's not get crazy here. But the point is, the handsome cat, I don't think football is his thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's always a story this off, you know, every off season where fans go crazy for someone. A lot of times it's overhyped.
Speaking of that, with a person who's never played tight end that's thinking, okay, I'm athletic, I'm tall, I can play tight end. I've been starting to see it a lot more. Obviously, the big story a couple weeks ago was Tim Tebow converting to tight end. He's looking pretty big. I don't know if you saw him at the ESPYs on Saturday night. Yesterday, I saw Jordan Matthews, former Eagles receiver, is trying to, like, he's bigger now, thinks he can play tight end. Kelvin Benjamin thinks he can play tight end. Are these guys kidding themselves, or what's going on with that?
Well, Kelvin Benjamin's just fat, so he has no other choice but to play tight end.
No, I mean, we saw here, I mean, I'm friends with Mo Ali Cox, who played center at VCU for 4 years, and then he made the transition for the Colts. But I think his story is the story of, you know, a lot of the guys where he had to play practice squad for a full season. You know, you can't expect Samus Reyes to come here and, you know, skip practice squad, because a lot of the big things about tight end, the position, is the blocking, you know, and almost every tight end, when they run a route, they got to chip a guy first, right? And so that's something that they have to get used to. I'm not saying it's not possible, and especially if you were a basketball player, I think you have a good shot because you have some of those juke moves and the ability to high point a ball in the air. So I would love to take some calls on the expectations for the offense. You can call in now, 1-800-636-1067. Adam Epstein, Overtime with AWOD on the Fan till 9 p.m. Welcome back to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. It's your boy Adam Epstein, Overtime with AWOD, at AWOD Radio on social media. And I just saw here on social media, I got to break this news to you guys. Unfortunately, Shams tweeted that Wizards star Bradley Beal, BB3, the Panda, has entered health and safety protocols at Team USA camp, placing his return-to-play status up in the air, sources tell Shams. And Chase Hughes also chimes in that Beal is entering health and safety protocol. It's an unfortunate timing on it comes the day after his best game for Team USA so far, but the first Olympic game is July 25th. So he has 11 days to get cleared. You know, we don't really have any more news on that, but it's an unfortunate because, like Chase said, he really did play well in that second game. You know, he was getting his shot. He was really hitting his shots. You could see he was more involved in the offense. And that's kind of what I noticed from Team USA for the first two games and then that third game. They didn't know where they were going. with the ball. With that, when I say that, it seems simple, but it's like you beat your first man, and when you're playing with guys for 82 games, you know, oh, this guy's going to be open in the corner. I got my point guard at the top of the key. They're not used to that. And so it was sometimes like they were overpassing. They'd get to the basket, give up a layup to swing it back out, and then that guy would keep swinging and swinging the ball, and I feel like they were overpassing the ball to death.
If he can't play in the Olympics, did they get to like the sub in another wizard to make the team?
I don't think. Maybe Russell Westbrook, right? No, but I'm sure it'll be, you know, because they still have the guys from the finals that are going to head over to Tokyo. So you still have Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Devin Booker. So, you know, one of those guys will take his spot. But I'm hoping, you know, that he can battle through this. I mean, let's be honest, you know, he was part of the COVID protocols for the Washington Wizards during the season. So, I mean, hopefully he can get over it quicker because of that. I mean, we don't know really what the status is. We just know that he's in their health and safety protocols. How long was Chris Paul out when this happened to him in the Western Conference Finals?
Game one, and that was it.
I think it was probably 6 days.
But it's also worth mentioning Chris Paul was vaccinated and had COVID. We don't know if Beal is.
Yeah, we do not know any more details on that. But I did see there was a funny story that came out. And, you know, I'm a big basketball fan. I grew up playing basketball all the time. And so there's this story that came out on the internet, and the internet is torn over whether you get a layup in shoot around after you miss. As a kid growing up, I played a ton of outdoor hoops, you know, but this is not something that I subscribe to ever. When I'm playing with my friends, if they cut to the basket after they miss, I'll pass it to them during shoot around. But most likely, most of the time, it's shoot it till you miss. And then I shoot. If you make it, you get your change and shoot again. But if I feel like the shot was too close to the basket, I don't respect your change. And I'm taking the ball myself and I'm shooting. But most likely, I'd never give you another shot or a layup after a miss. And Linnell told me, no, that's a thing, huh? I mean, I'd never played that growing up. We grew up in different hoods.
Must have been in the 124. That's how we did it, man.
Oh, really? Not in the 703.
Yeah, in Flower Hill, Maryland. That's how we got it done, man.
Really? So what is it? So you could just miss?
Something that started with me when I was playing high school basketball.
Uh-huh.
I was first introduced by it. Because in warm-ups, we're out
shooting. Subtle flex.
Yeah, you know, high school basketball. I played for Dan Harwood, winning his head coach in Maryland Public School Histories.
Yeah, no, I know. You played left bench. I heard all about it.
Shout out to Magruder Colonels. But, you know, yeah, you shoot it. And the reason you do it is because when you miss, obviously you want to keep the guy in rhythm, so you let him get a little layup in real quick.
Yeah, and so this went viral because there was a TikTok where a guy, you know, he shoots it, makes it, gets his change, shoots again, misses. He cuts to the basket, and the camera shows him, and he's sitting there waiting. Crickets in the background, and he never got the pass. Growing up in Barrington, we had a hoop next to my driveway that I would play at pretty much every day, but there was a sewer. You know what I'm talking about, where you're in a cul-de-sac and they have the sewers there, where it's not like open, right? But you could slide in there, right? If you dropped your ball down there, you could find a way to get it. And so I was always scared that I was going to drive left and my leg would fall into the sewer. I was traumatized by it growing up. I was scared to go hard for a layup, so I developed like this running floater off the glass when I went left, just to avoid the chance of landing and being stuck in the sewer.
You land in the sewer, the Ninja Turtles rebound, and they flick it right back to you.
I know, and you get free pizza. What do you know, right? But, yeah, I didn't play like that at all. I mean, I was battling for the rebound also. Like, don't think just because I miss, it's your shot. I'm going for that rebound during shoot-arounds. I'm working on it. And I'm also saying, no mic and drills. I don't care if you're 7 foot and you want to work on your game, take a shot outside the paint, please. Linnell, you look like you disagree a little bit.
Hey, man. I'm just trying to pay homage to the White Mamba in the main studio over there, listening to you spew on about how great you were when you were a kid. Hey, what I want to see you.
Let me tell you this. You can go right now to the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You type in Cakes versus AWOD, and you can see me beating old man's ass.
You beat up on Cakes.
I'm beat like up
70.
On Cakes.
He's like 70.
Hey, let's be nice.
He's like 49. All right, he's got a great hook shot. And he's a lot quicker than people think. He's quick. He's got pretty good ball handling, but I took it to him. He couldn't stop the lefty sensation from Fairfax, Virginia. And I took it to him. I did throw up on the court. I had a little bit too much to drink the night before, and I was dead tired. I had a Washington football team cheerleader there cheering me on. It was unbelievable. It's the most clicked on video on the 106.7 page. Go to YouTube right now. Type in Cakes versus AWOD. You'll see the B-ball challenge, Linnell.
I know Cakes is a baller because, well, at least I know his son's a baller. Me and his son went to high school together.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we graduated together.
Oh, nice. Is that how you ended up at the station here?
That is not how
Cakes
ended up
didn't put in a good word for
no,
you?
No, he didn't. For years in high school, I was always trying to get an internship here, and I always kept getting told by, I guess it was CK or whoever it was, we don't hire high school interns.
Yeah. No, I know.
Cupcake didn't help you out?
I know. I know that because I tried to get an internship here my sophomore year in college, and they said I was too young. So then I came back my junior year, and I got an internship here. I was working with Holden Kushner and Danny Rouye, and then Grant and Danny, of course. And that's why it's so cool here that I'm on the air here on 106.7, because I've stayed loyal to this station, Linnell. Got to stay loyal.
Yeah, man. These hosts staying loyal.
These hosts stay These loyal hosts ain't here loyal. On 106.7 The Fan. You're listening to Overtime with AWOD up until 9 p.m. But when I return here, we had a little topic that we were talking about behind the glass here. Who's going to win the NFC East? We all want it to be Washington, right? I mean, I think we can agree. We want it to be the Washington football team. You know, maybe selfishly because we'll get ratings, baby. The phone lines will be lit up, right? And, of course, because I bleed burgundy and gold. But the truth is that the NFC East has not had a back-to-back champion since 2004 when McNabb did it. You know, it's rarely done. And so we don't think Washington football team will win back-to-back. So I like the Cowboys. Linnell likes the Eagles. Zach likes the Giants. We'll get into that next here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. And we're talking about teams with the best chance to win the NFC East. Are you taking a futures bet on the Washington football team, on the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, or the New York Giants? And my producers, Zach and Linnell, and I are going to go through the teams here and give our takes. I'll go first, guys. I'll get it started because it pains me to say this. You know, I'm the biggest Washington football team fan in the building. Guarantee that. Season ticket holder for 15 years with my dad. Went to every game, went crying on the way home as we would lose week in and week out. But I finally had some positivity this past year as the Washington football team got hot at the end of the season, went 7-9 and made the playoffs. And although I think that they have a chance to get back to the playoffs, I'm going to be honest and say it's going to be tough for them to win the division because it hasn't been done in 16 years. So I'm going to go ahead and say it'll be the Dallas Cowboys, who boasted their worst record since 2015 at 6-10, but that was because they lost Dak Prescott, a season-ending injury, and they got to hope that running back Ezekiel Elliott returns to form. He averaged 107 yards and 6 touchdowns in the 5 games with Prescott under center, but that dropped down to 78 yards after Prescott went out. And so I'm looking here online, and they say this is from NFL Game Day. Of course, the NFL Game Day is a great show on the NFL Network. They say, who is going to win the NFC East in 2021? Well, with 40.4% of the votes, it was the Dallas Cowboys. Second on that list was the Washington football team at 32, 17% for the Giants, 10% for the Philadelphia Eagles. I just feel like if Dak Prescott comes back and is any form of the old style of Dak Prescott, which he was before, where he would scramble, he could get yards on the ground, and he really does have a good deep ball. And like I've said before, their wide receivers, this is their year to make a mark with those wide receivers. I think Michael Gallup is going to end up getting paid next year. They've got Amari Cooper under contract already for the next 4 years, and then CeeDee Lamb under the rookie deal. So their offense is just so dynamic. I think they're definitely going to struggle on the defensive side of the ball, but they've got guys not to sleep on the defense side as well. And so I think they're going to probably score 40 points, maybe 35 points a game. They'll probably give up a lot. But if I'm going to pick one team to win the NFC East and I'm not going with Washington, I'm going with the Cowboys. Linnell, who's your team to win the NFC East in 2021?
I would like to preface this by saying this is not what I really think is going to happen. This is an argument in favor of Philadelphia.
Well, now people have no reason to tune into the radio. I'm just kidding. Come on.
I think Philadelphia, there's some things, there's a scenario in which Philadelphia could win the division.
Okay.
I think Jalen Hurts being the full-time starter, it's a different offense that Philadelphia was running last year with Hurts and Wentz at the helm.
Yeah.
I think with Hurts, it gives them more of the dual threat dynamic, obviously. And during his time as the starter, he displayed a lot of traits that I think can carry over into long-term success at the position. He did really well when facing pressure from opposing defenses. And he's got this quick twitch nature about him when he's in trouble to get out of harm's way. Really, my confidence in Philadelphia really, you know, hinges on just how good I think Jalen Hurts could be in this Nick Sirianni offense.
And their defense is going to be solid as well.
And their defense is going to be good too. That
you were over here during the
trade of Ryan Kerrigan.
I know you were talking about him having a career year. I don't know about that, but
I think him playing a lot. This may be, besides last year, this may be the most talented front Ryan Kerrigan's ever played in.
Wow.
Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Brandon Graham. They got studs along their front four. And I didn't even mention Derek Barnett. Wow. So he's going to be battling for snaps potentially. But defensively, Philadelphia is going to be something to be reckoned with. I think their front four is still just as good as anyone's in football.
And here's what I will say about Jalen Hurts is that he's really showed the ability to extend the play and run upfield. And the way the NFL is nowadays, those mobile quarterbacks are the way to go, right? I mean, as we see it every year now, the guys that are getting drafted, Justin Fields like that as well. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is going to run the ball. It's becoming the mobile quarterback is the way to go. What do you think, Zach? Would you argue Philly at all, or you want to go in on the Giants?
Have you seen Philly's roster? They're not winning the division.
Hey, look at the wide receivers they added now.
Who are they? Is Alshon still there? Who do they got?
No, they got
Jason Avant.
Devonta Smith, man.
If he can stay healthy, we'll see what happens. But what's he playing at? 160? He ain't lasting 17 games.
I mean, DeSean Jackson did it for a little bit.
What, 2 years? 10 years
those
ago?
Those were the years that Philly was good.
Oh.
All right, you got the Giants, though. Why is that?
The Giants. All right, so correct me if I'm wrong. The Giants, they were right in it till the end.
Yeah.
And they didn't make the playoffs because Philly let Washington win in Week 17.
Well, and because they lost to the Cowboys, right?
They lost to the stinking Cowboys.
They lost that game. They didn't win that game. Okay. They reloaded all over the place. They went out and got Kenny Galladay. They went out and got Kyle Rudolph. You already have Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton. Saquon's coming back. Contract year, Saquon wants to prove it. The defense is loaded top to bottom. James Bradbury is one of the best corners in football. Am I wrong? Metrics would say I'm correct.
Pump the brakes on Bradbury.
Okay, wide receivers would differ. And the safeties, you got McKinney coming from Alabama is finally healthy. Jabril Peppers finally wants to show something. And along the defensive line, Leonard Williams got paid, so you know he's going to be out there. Dexter Lawrence, they're going to be stacked. Defense, Blake Martinez kind of had an underrated season last year. I think he was top five in the league in tackles. I think they're kind of in that same mindset that Phoenix, the Suns, were in last year when they couldn't make the playoffs and it was out of their control. I think this Giants team has something to prove. And honestly, I'd love to say Washington's going to win the division, but if you look at history, it's not likely.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. But I think Daniel Jones is the biggest question mark. Where would you put him in the NFC East conversation for quarterbacks? I think he's got to be three, maybe four.
Yeah, he's the X factor.
His biggest highlights last year were running the ball.
Yeah,
that's wild.
And dropping it when he almost had a touchdown.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, that's our little bit of the debate there, but we can all agree they're rooting for the home team, the Washington Football Team. So, did you guys see that Popeye is dropping chicken nuggets? Yes. Zach is telling me that everyone's going to call in because it's the biggest chicken news in the world. 1-800-636-1067. Are you going to be trying the chicken nuggies? Adam Epstein on The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. At AWOD Radio is where you can find me on all social media platforms. Shout out to Brandon who said he's listening. He said, good show so far. I know he's drinking and getting ready, getting juiced, getting sauced. For NBA Finals Game 4, that's just 15 minutes away from tip-off 9 p.m. on ABC. Bobby hits me up on Instagram. He thought it was hilarious. He had to pull over when I said, Simone Biles sticks the landing after does 100 flips. I can't stick the landing when I get out of bed. Boom, boom, shh. Always try to hit them with the one-liners. I'm trying to be energetic. I'm trying to be funny. I'm trying to make you laugh here on Overtime with AWOD on 106.7 The Fan. And so we just teased it. Zach, the phone lines lit up, bro. They love your topic here. No, I'm just messing with you. But we're talking about the Popeyes chicken nuggets that they've come out with. And we want to do a little fried chicken debate. So, Liddell, I know you're a big fan of fried chicken. We've talked about this in the past. I am a guy that grew up on chicken nuggets. That was my number one. I would go to a fancy restaurant. I go to Mike's American Grill. I'm getting the chicken fingers. I'm getting the chicken tenders and French fries. So I've grown up on fried chicken, and my favorite by far is the Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich. You got to turn on your mic here.
I also grew up on chicken nuggets in the oven as well. We called it the SSS.
What is that?
Stephen Smith special. That's my uncle, Stephen Smith. They used to get us chicken nuggets and french fries, me and my brother, and that's what we lived on during the week.
And so you'd cook them all in the oven.
Cook them all in the oven. SS special, get a little ranch dressing. I even got bougie with it. I've recently put the SS special inside of a tortilla, wrap it up with some spinach, drizzle it with some ranch and cheese.
Oh.
Hood meals.
So you're a little bit of a chef there at
home. A little bit of Chef Boyardee now.
Oh, I like it.
Boy, the stuff
is
good.
I like it. Because growing up, like, I'll be honest with you, I love chicken. I love fried chicken. But I didn't love chicken sandwiches. I felt like the bread kind of ruined it. It already had the breading. But then as we got into high school and it became like, you know, it was fun to skip out on lunch and go get Chipotle or something. And I would go to Chick-fil-A, and my sandwich every time was the spicy chicken deluxe with pepper jack cheese, bacon. Right? You know me. No pepper tomato, jack. No lettuce, no ketchup, no mustard, but hot sauce on that biatch.
No pepper jack. You're a man of good taste with pepper jack.
Oh, of course. Oh, I'm a cheese guru over here. Havarti, you know, Gouda. I like it all. I'm a big fan of brie cheese as well. Give me a brie and crackers.
What's up, brie?
Did you like the Popeyes chicken sandwich when it came out? And are you really looking forward to these chicken nuggets?
I was not one of the crazies that was in line for the damn sandwich.
Yeah, Zach, are you shaking his head? I already know this man waited in line for 2 hours.
No, I remember going in. They just put the signs up. It was insanity. I know some people were fighting, and it was really on national news, and it was just chicken sandwiches were just dividing everyone. And then eventually they took it off, and then they put it back in and got enough, and I think it's now it's just a staple. But if this is the last of the chicken nuggets, I would be shocked.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see what happens. So McDonald's came out with a spicy chicken nugget as well. I've had the Wendy's spicy chicken nuggets. I really think they're good. But here's my thing is that I just think when you look at the Popeyes chicken sandwich, it's just too much. It's too fried. And so when I say, hey, they're coming out with chicken nuggets, I'm thinking it's just going to be a ball of fried bread, right? There's just not enough chicken in there. There's not enough meat to it. What do you think, Lino?
There's a lunatic on the line who wants to talk about Arby's.
Oh, really? Oh, man. What is this? I'd rather talk about Checkers or rallies. Who is this? Who is this on the line? We got Eric on the line. Should I go to him? We got Eric in D.C. You're on the fan with Adam Epstein.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, you wanted to chime in on the chicken debate here?
Yeah, Arby's is dropping nuggets. Also, I just wanted to let you know I saw that a commercial for it. I don't know what anything special about it, but I didn't know about the other fruit.
Popeyes, yeah. So who would you say is the winner in this you know, chicken sandwich, chicken nugget debate? You got McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, Popeyes.
Hey, I work at Roy Rogers, so I know you like that. I think I've heard you talk about that.
I do, man. So, yeah. And Roy Rogers got the crispy onion rings, right?
Yes, right now we do.
Oh. Dave, yep. Don't take them away from me, Eric. I need them.
Well, it's only a limited time, but, you know. We might keep it. We don't not. It's not my decision.
Well, let me ask you about it, because you are now a fast food connoisseur that you work at Roy Rogers. Why is it that you guys come out with things? Every company does it. The McRib with McDonald's. They come out with something. It's hot, and then they take it away. Popeyes did it with the chicken. Is it just a marketing tactic?
Well, they try to, you know, target people that want that, so they come for that. Plus, how many people just come and get one thing? You know, you're hoping that they'll come and get that plus something else, and they'll be a return customer, and we'll draw them in at least for the moment, and then they'll keep coming back even after the one thing's gone. So that's kind of what they do. And they some of it's seasonal, some of it, you know, like we have fish, but it's only for Lent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm not trying to fish. I'm sorry.
No, it's good, man. Beer batter cod. It was really good. That's one of the most. And we got cheesesteaks every so often. We'll come out with a. Yeah, we have that more than once a year. So that's really the most popular. But that's just, like I say, they try to hit people with certain, you know, different things to try to draw, like, new customers or give other old customers a new look. But we only keep it for 3 months. And we rotate it every. They come out with a sandwich, they come out with a side, and they come out with a dessert or a milkshake, usually. That's what we do. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, great call, man. I appreciate it. Welcome to the AWOD Army, Eric. There you go, Zach. You got a caller on the chicken debate. We could squeeze in another one if you want to, 1-800-636-1067. But, Zach, who is your pick? Who is the winner in the spicy nugget chicken sandwich debate?
For the nuggets, I think McDonald's had a great product. They obviously knew it was a great product and took it away. But for the sandwich, I'm a Chick-fil-A guy. Chick-fil-A, no pickle, and then you kind of get the spicy. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm with you on no pickle. I was out to the bar with my friends the other day, and my sandwich came with a pickle, and my immediate reaction was, pickle up for grabs. Hot pickle. Anyone want your pickle? I don't do pickles.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'm here on Saturday at 1 o'clock here on 106.7 The Fan. Linnell, I need your help for this bit, all right? Because we love talking food on my show. I'm a big boy. You know, I eat good, right? So the one thing I don't eat, though, is condiments, right? I don't do ketchup. I don't do mustard. I don't do ranch dressing, Caesars. I want you to help me bring that all in. All right, because I want to do a taste test. I'll go get like Five Guys fries or something. I have not had any of this stuff since I was like 5 years old. So maybe all of a sudden I'll become a fan of, brown mustard or something like that.
Brown mustard. Well, let's start you off with something simple. Get you a little ketchup.
Oh, God. Well, we could try Mambo sauce as well.
Mambo. Say it with me. Mambo.
What did I say? Mambo?
Mambo. It's Mambo.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe put Mambo on all chicken because it's great.
I mean, it's just ketchup and hot sauce, but I don't do ketchup.
There's actually a little bit of honey in there, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. What about barbecue sauce?
Oh, all day. All day. See,
do you eat hibachi?
What?
Do you eat hibachi?
Like teriyaki sauce?
No. Yum-yum sauce. Yummy, yummy?
Yeah, no.
No yummy sauce for you? Yummy sauce is the best thing in the world.
I will do white rice with a little bit of soy sauce. That's what I'll do.
What about eel sauce?
Eel?
People don't know about eel. You're not
what the hell is eel sauce?
You put it on eel if you get sushi. It's fantastic.
Dude, you're the weirdest guy at the radio station.
No way.
Try eel sauce. You don't like it. You call me.
What did you say?
Did you call eel sauce?
Eel sauce.
Get out of here, bro.
Right? Come on.
They put
now.
It on shrimp tempura. You don't even know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't get tempura too often.
Yeah, you're bougie. Shrimp tempura. What is shrimp tempura? I like my shrimp in
I'm
an
telling
egg
you,
roll
the writers at this station are all boozy. Him and Blue Shorts and all the guys we got right. They're different. They're different animals.
The digital cats.
Zach, you got any articles you've been popping real quick? Anything you want to shout out to the audience? Get yourself some extra clicks?
Nothing comes to mind. No.
If anyone wants
you
to follow me,
you should write about eel sauce.
We can make this about me if we want to. NELL_BTP. Follow me on the Twitter sphere. Same thing on Instagram.
What's the hottest take you've had this week?
The hottest take I've had this week? I mean, I only come with hot takes. STOs is what I like to call
them. Yeah, what does STO stand for?
Steamy takes only.
All right.
That was my shower in person.
It was a shower. I thought it was the
still
stove
waiting
top.
On the take. Come on.
Oh, the hot take I had? I mean, I'll give you one.
Giannis is only going to score 5 points.
Giannis doesn't score 25+ tonight.
That's not that hot. That's not that
hot. How much hotter do you want me to get?
Give me a hot take
here. Fish grease?
You say steamy takes only.
I only give steamy takes. All right, I'll give one that we have to wait to see if it comes to fruition.
Okay.
I think that Washington will finish in the top 11 in total offense this year.
Wow. And last year, what were they, like 26
or something? 24.
Yeah. I mean, I just think we're getting back into the Washington football team here. My biggest thing is that Ryan Fitzpatrick might not be great, but he's going to be tremendously better than Alex Smith was last year. And you can't even compare him to what Dwayne Haskins was. And Kyle Allen really only played like a half a game, right? So that's my biggest thing, is that when you look at Fitzpatrick this year, you got to look at who he's replacing. And then I keep talking to people about this because my friends always love to talk about the Washington football team with me. It's just what Logan Paulson said on my show was that he's going to make adjustments. So he might come out and have a bad first series, but he's such a veteran. He's got so much great football IQ and knowledge. You know, of course, he went to Harvard as well. He's a brilliant guy. He's going to be able to read these defenses and make adjustments on the fly. So you've been listening to Overtime with AWOD here on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks to my guests on the show from ABC7, Scott Abraham, and my guy, Justin Fensterman. Adam Epstein, I'll be back Saturday. You won't want to miss it. Thanks to everybody for tuned in. Thanks to the people that tweeted me at AWOD Radio. I love when people get in touch with me on Twitter throughout the show. Todd tweets me that he's working on a boat, having a beer, and listening to AWOD Radio. How about that? I'll be back on Saturday. Thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.